what's the next thing after cyber deception? How can we use those same ideas that we know make cyber deception work really well and build new defenses that no one's thought of before?
Today on the Daily Scoop podcast from the Scoop News Group, using cyber psychology to stay ahead of hackers. We take you inside IARPA's new program called Resend. It's Thursday, March 7th, 2024. Welcome to the Daily Scoop podcast, where you'll hear the latest news and trends facing government leaders. I'm the host of the Daily Scoop podcast, Billy Mitchell. Here's what's happening now. The federal government's top IT official said this week that the Biden administration's efforts to improve reporting of artificial intelligence use case inventories includes work to make them more searchable. Federal CIO Claire Martorana told reporters at a federal CIO council event on Tuesday that her office is, quote, working really hard to make sure that it's enhancing use cases with metadata so that it can search them and really interrogate them rather than just collect them and broadcast them to get key learning from those. The White House has previously indicated that the inventories will be more central to understanding how agencies are using the technology going forward. In fact, draft Office of Management and Budget guidance that corresponded to President Joe Biden's AI executive order proposed expanding the inventories with information about safety and rights impacting AI, the risks of uses, and how those risks are being managed. Martorana said of that guidance, quote, federal agencies have special responsibility to get AI governance right, adding that her office believes the policy will continue the nation's global leadership in AI development and adoption. In other news, lawmakers from both sides of the aisle have teamed up on new legislation that would set standards for federal agency use of artificial intelligence and require proper training for workers that assist with the use of AI. The Federal AI Governance and Transparency Act, introduced by House Oversight and Accountability Chairman James Comer and Ranking Member Jamie Raskin, focuses on enhanced oversight, transparency, and the implementation of responsible use of AI tools throughout federal agencies. The bill would codify federal governance of agency AI systems and consolidate existing AI laws, while also defining federal standards for AI use, acquisition, management, development, and oversight. It aims also to hold agencies accountable for ensuring that they are purposeful and performance-driven when utilizing the emerging technology, and it specifies that AI use be consistent with the use cases that the tool was trained for, and that deployers of such applications promote verifiably accurate, ethical, reliable, and effective use. Finally, the bill would require appropriate training to all agency personnel who are responsible for AI use, a requirement that follows the Biden administration's focus on enhancing the federal AI workforce. You can read more about these stories and much more at fedscoop.com. Federal agencies, as well as other entities across the private sector, are at a major disadvantage when it comes to protecting their sensitive information and systems from bad actors. Hackers are getting more sophisticated, and cyber attacks are increasing in quantity and severity. And the vast majority of the time, humans are the weakest link in cyber attack vectors. A new program out of the Intelligence Advanced Research Projects Agency, or IARPA, wants to turn that notion on its head, shifting the asymmetric nature of cyber defense to benefit defenders by building cyber psychology-informed defenses and influencing and manipulating a cyber attacker's decision-making throughout an attack. Dr. Kimberly Ferguson-Walter leads Resend, the program which stands for Reimagining Security with Cyber Psychology-Informed Network Defenses, and she joins me now to discuss the idea behind the project, the field of cyber psychology, and the end goal of the novel initiative. Dr. Kimberly Ferguson-Walter, welcome to the Daily Scoop podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. Really looking forward to talking about your program, which is called Resend within IARPA. Resend stands for Reimagining Security with Cyber Psychology Informed Network Defenses. It's quite a mouthful, but I want to get into that. And, you know, my understanding of the program is that it looks to enhance cybersecurity by looking to get inside the head of hackers. That's my own description. So maybe I'm a little wrong there, but if that is extremely simplistic, forgive me. But let's start there by, I'd love for you to explain the program and what you've set out to accomplish with Resend.
Sure, thanks. Yeah, and you've got it quite right. So we know that cyber attacks are increasing in quantity and severity, and some of the most sophisticated and persistent cyber attacks are primarily human-driven, which means we need layered defenses in order to prevent and minimize these attacks. We know that attackers take advantage of human errors all the time through social engineering, through finding bugs in codes. But most defenses don't look at that. They don't exploit those cognitive weaknesses of cyber attackers. So that's where Rescind steps in to sort of fill that gap. So we're looking to improve cybersecurity by developing a new set of what we're calling cyber psychology informed defenses, or CIFIDs, that actually leverage an attacker's human limitations, such as innate decision-making biases and other cognitive constraints that we have as humans.
So it sounds like a really interesting program. I'm wondering if you can sort of break it down. So for like a listener, what that would look like, you're kind of playing into the biases and the mindset of a hacker. How do you get in front of a hacker and kind of prey upon those things?
That's a good question. So the outcome of the program is to create new defensive technologies that can be installed on a network that you own or on a computer you own that will be able to sort of interact with the person behind the machine. It can do a variety of different things. We have a bunch of different performers that are working on a bunch of different approaches, but you can imagine that through that interaction, you could help determine whether someone was a legitimate user or a malicious user, or you could trigger innate cognitive biases, such as, let's say, sunk cost bias. So the sunk cost fallacy is one that's pretty well known. You sink a bunch of time, effort, or money into doing something, and you don't want to give it up, right? So you know you should move on. You know you shouldn't sink more into this activity, but you do because that's just an innate part of being humans. And so how can we take that thing that we know from all the great psychology work that's been going on for, you know, centuries, and use that to build better defenses to secure our systems?
That's fascinating, and really interesting to kind of think about it at play. And I'm curious, you know, maybe this is a way to ask you more about your background, but how did you come up with this idea, or, you know, where did this come from? Because it's this really interesting meeting of the technical cybersecurity world, but also, which I think is more interesting, the psychology behind it.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I have a PhD in computer science, so I'm not a psychologist, but I've always been really fascinated. I got into AI pretty early on in my career. And there's sort of, in my view, there's sort of two camps of AI people. There's the AI people who really want to model human-like behavior. And then there's the AI people who want to create sort of superhumans, computers that can do things that humans can't do. And so I was always sort of more interested in the modeling human behavior part. And so when I got into cybersecurity, that came along with me. And I started collaborating with psychologists. I really felt like there wasn't enough collaboration with the cognitive and behavioral sciences, even though cyber is so human. There's so many human components in it. And the computer scientists and the psychologists don't always work together very well. Sometimes they speak totally different languages. And so part of what I want to do while I'm at IARPA is try to help build that community that's really multidisciplinary and have the different fields learn to work together and continue to work together.
That's really cool. And I like the way you brought AI into it. Obviously, it's the moment of everything right now is AI. But, you know, would you describe this as more of an AI application? It was a question I was thinking about when I was kind of reading about the program. It sounds like it's got the algorithm underneath it, and it's really about sort of modeling and thinking about human behavior. So is it more AI than it is cybersecurity at the end of the day?
I wouldn't say it's more AI. So the program has three phases. The first phase is really about that psychology part, but understanding it from a cyber lens, right? So which cognitive vulnerabilities, which we're calling them, are most applicable and most relevant to what cyber attackers do. And how can we measure them using just the cyber data we have access to? And how can we trigger them? How can we intensify them or use them for defensive advantage? And then as we move into phase three, we start looking at, okay, we've now got the basis, the science behind it. How do we build it into usable techniques and software that through computer security techniques that can be used on the host or on the network? And then we have some very rigorous testing we're going to do with human subjects. And then for phase three, we're actually looking at an AI component. We're looking at, okay, we have all of these different software components that we're calling CIFIDs, and they're all focused on different cognitive vulnerabilities. They might be in different places on the network. Can we use AI to learn to automatically chain them together to have the most impact to benefit defenders?
Very cool. I'm curious, you know, you've been at IARPA since 2022, from what I've read. So are there other projects like this that you've worked on, or even previously before joining IARPA? Are there other sort of cybersecurity adjacent projects that you would want to call out that are similar in nature to this work?
Yeah, so I can talk a little bit about my previous work. So I previously worked in the area of cyber deception. And so we were building and testing techniques that do use human psychology to try to prevent attacks. The interesting thing about cyber deception is, in my opinion, it sort of was developed in the reverse order, where we had technologists who were like, honey tokens, honeypots, decoys, these are really good ideas. Let's build them and they're going to work, instead of really looking at the psychological foundations for why they work or how to make them better. Some of that's been done after the fact, but that's really where we're focusing. What's the next thing after cyber deception? How can we use those same ideas that we know make cyber deception work really well and build new defenses that no one's thought of before?
Yeah, it's you know, I think of incredibly interesting and really necessary field, you know, to think about the intersection of psychology and cybersecurity. And it's dawning on me, I'm curious, given that you're, you know, somebody who works in this field, you know, is there school education that kind of programs out there that kind of prepare you for this intersection? Or if you are an aspiring, you know, student in cybersecurity, somebody who wants to, you know, model work like yours, how do you get into that?
That's a good question. I know there are some programs, up and coming programs, that focus on cyber psychology, but cyber psychology means a lot of different things to different people. So some people that are working in cyber psychology or more traditional cyber psychology, they're focused on things like, how do we understand online bullying and how that's different than in real life bullying, or cyber therapy, or different things where they're looking at how they differ in on the internet than they are in real life. And I feel like the application to cyber security is lagging behind. But I feel like there's a lot of great people that can, you know, we can bring over to our side, and it just needs to be a collaborative effort. In the computer science field, I feel like there's some coursework that could be useful. They're not really human focused, though. It's like understanding experimental design, information processing, statistics, things that what I'm really interested in is helping to bring, and there's other people interested in this too, but how do we bring the scientific method to cybersecurity? Right. So there isn't a agreed upon set of measures of success. How do you know when your cybersecurity tools are being successful? Well, you don't. You know when they're failing. Right. And so this has been an issue for cybersecurity researchers throughout the years, is trying to understand, trying to show people value. I'm big on experimental testing. Right. So how do we know things are actually going to work? Well, behavioral scientists test them all the time. You can test them in a laboratory setting. You can test them with humans. You can set up controlled experiment where you say, okay, this is what it does when it's not there, and this is what it does when it is there, and then show the difference. And so the area of sort of science of security is growing a bit, and I think it's really important.
It's incredible. And I think, you know, we're going to see more and more of that. So it's really cool to talk to someone who's sort of at the forefront and really diving into that. So, but, you know, back to the program, I'm curious, you know, it's moving along. It sounds like there's been some awards made under the BAA, and there's partners that have been brought in. But tell me about the life cycle, the project, where it is, and sort of who those people you're working with and where you look to take it, I guess, in the next phases.
Yeah. So we just kicked off our program last month. So we're in the very early stages. We have five prime performer teams with researchers across three different continents as part of the team. So we have Charles River Analytics, Gramatech, Periton Labs, Raytheon Technologies, and SRI International. The interesting thing is sort of the breadth of approaches that the different performers are bringing, right? So we have, as part of the program, we've required two specific cognitive vulnerabilities that everyone's looking at. And those are loss aversion, which is the tendency for people to strongly prefer avoiding losses rather than the equivalent gain. So if you lost $20, it would hurt more than if I gave you $20. Would make you feel good. And then the second one is representativeness bias, which is a mouthful. And that's the tendency to overweight the representativeness of a piece of evidence while ignoring how often it occurs. So the example I hear on this a lot is you might see something, you know, like, let's say wildfires are on the news in California. I'm in California. So you see, on the East Coast, it makes it seem like California is always on fire. But that's not the case. It's just because that's what you're seeing on the news. And so you don't understand sort of how often it's happening. But each of the performers are also required to research an additional three cognitive vulnerabilities. And so there's a breadth of things that people are looking at. Some of them are cognitive biases. Some of them are other kinds of human constraints, like, you know, we can only remember so much. We can only pay attention to so much. So there's all of these natural human constraints that can be helpful. So in addition to focusing on different kinds of cognitive constraints, there are different key characteristics that can impact these cognitive constraints that people are looking at, that the performers are looking at. For example, we have at least one team who's heavily focused on cultural differences. So it's known that different cultures manifest these different biases in different ways. We have another team that's focused a lot on situational differences. So maybe what differs here is sort of the cyber situation that they're in at the time that you use the defense. And we have other teams who are focused on individual differences, right? So whether they have more experience or less experience, or whether they have different personality differences that might make a difference. Maybe they're naturally more cautious or naturally more risk averse, and that could make a difference. And so they're looking at all those different characteristics. And then you can imagine as they get into phase two and they start to build these into usable, transitionable software components, those are going to have all sorts of different approaches of what they look like, how they're built, where and how they're deployed within a system. And then as we move into phase three, you have people looking at all sorts of different AI technologies. You have rule-based systems, you have deep learning systems, you have different systems of how they're going to determine how to chain things together. And then we have another component that we're calling C3Ms, which stands for cyber-specific cognitive computational models. And the idea here is that everyone's gathered all of this data. They're using real humans who have expertise in cyber to gather data on understanding the decision making, understanding what affects their decision making, what affects their behavior, what affects their success. And so we're going to use that information to build models that to feed right back into the AI community, right? So these models can now be used to train things in the future. And instead of being sort of those perfect optimal AI agents that people seem to be striving to build. We want to build models that actually have human imperfections built in, right? And so if we're always testing our defenses against sort of that optimal superhuman, it's not going to tell us how it works against real humans. And yeah. So we want to build these models that can be used for these kinds of agents where you can sort of tune up and down different cognitive vulnerabilities. Be like, okay, well, if this person is really risk averse, what does that look like? And how does their behavior change than if they're really not?
Very interesting. So let's go to the end. You know, this project or this program will reach a point, you know, its conclusion. What happens then? Is there a specific outcome takeaway from it? And then who is that intended user at the end? Is it the intelligence community? Is it dual use for industry and the intelligence community? What's the kind of outcome you're envisioning?
Yeah, so we have several outcomes that I'm hoping to get out of the project. We have sort of that basis of knowledge where we take what people have done in psychology and we show how it applies or doesn't apply in cyber, right? So the experiments that they've done commonly, they're lab-based experiments, they're hypothetical experiments, they're often using students, they're often like not a long chain of decision making. And so we don't know how well that's going to apply in real complex dynamic situations. And so there's a lot of people interested in that research. Then we have our cybersecurity folks who really are interested in those software components that we're going to be building, whether they be individual because it fits into their need specifically or the AI built in. And then we have sort of the cognitive models I mentioned, which can be used either for defensive purposes or for training purposes. But IARPA, you know, is all about facilitating the research, and we transition our findings to other IC members for use. We don't really have a say in how they use those technologies, but obviously cybersecurity is a everybody problem. And so we definitely see that this is going to help outside the IC, outside the government. This will help commercially. Hopefully it will bring about a new type of defense that will help defend computers everywhere.
Wow, that's incredible. A lot of different outcomes and really big ones to look at as well. So a lot to watch, really exciting to kind of keep an eye on it. You know, we're just at the beginning watching this, but to see what comes out of it. So best of luck there. But Dr. Ferguson Walter, thanks so much for your time today. It's been a really enlightening and interesting conversation. And I think, again, this will be really exciting to see what comes out of this. So please keep us posted.
Thanks, Billy. I appreciate it. I know I'm excited.
You can learn more about cybersecurity at thedailyscooppodcast.com. The Daily Scoop podcast is available on all podcast platforms. If you've already rated the podcast on your platform of choice, thanks so much. High ratings and good reviews of the show help more people to find it. The Daily Scoop podcast is a production of the Scoop News Group in Washington, D.C. Adam Butler and Carlin Fisher help put the show together, and the entire Scoop News Group team contributes. We'll be back next week with brand new episodes. Until then, I'm your host, Billy Mitchell. Thanks so much for listening.